Today on Real Life Radio.
And he resides in glory. We have no idea what glory's like. You know that? Well, we won't get it by coming to a church service. We won't get it by really great worship. We won't get it by going to some Hollywood production. We'll never see glory like we are going to see glory when we see the Lord.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Book of Revelation with a message called Jesus Christ is Coming Again. There is no other book in the Bible that draws us in with such a gracious promise of blessing. But there's also no other book that comes with a severe warning should anyone add or take away from its message. In Genesis, we have the beginning of it all. In Revelation, we have the end goal of it all. You see, when Jesus Christ first came to the earth, he came to the nation of Israel as the sacrificial lamb for the forgiveness of sins. He died on the cross and rose again, making salvation possible for the Jews and then for the Gentiles. His second coming, however, will be a universal event. Jesus will be coming in all of his power and glory, and every eye will see him. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack tells us that Jesus is not returning for those who are looking for him or for the select few that await his return. Every human being will witness this global event as Jesus comes out of the east and sets his foot on the Mount of Olives in Israel, splitting it in two. And now in his message called Jesus Christ is Coming Again, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Revelation chapter 1, we pick it up in verse 7 down to verse 11 this morning. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him. Even they who pierced him and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, who is, who was, who is to come, the Almighty. Verse 9. I, John, both your brother and companion in tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the Isle of Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. We go to the end of the book now in our study, and it's just proper that we do because, listen, the Bible is comprised of 66 books penned by at least 40 different authors over a time span of nearly 2,000 years, yet in absolute harmony and in agreement. But the book of Revelation is unique among them all. It is considered the book of books of the Bible because the book of Revelation will have references or cross-references, sometimes just outright quotes from all the other books of the Bible. Just from the book of Daniel alone, listen to this, from Daniel, just chapter 7 of the book of Daniel, the book of Revelation quotes it 31 times from the 7th chapter of Daniel alone. So the reason why a lot of people shy away from the book of Revelation is frankly because they have not read the preceding 65 books of the Bible, predominantly the Old Testament. The book of Revelation deals much and predominantly with and for the nation of Israel. Well, that's interesting. If it's an end times book, if it's a book for the last days, then wouldn't you want, or wouldn't you have, if you were God, to have Israel existing as a nation again? For some of you who were around earlier on in May 14th, 1948, Israel became a nation again the second time in one day. Well, the Bible, the book of Revelation specifically, assumes that Israel will be a nation again in the last days. And lo and behold, what do we have? In our lifetime, we have a nation called Israel existing again. The only nation in all of human history that has ever existed, then ceased to exist for a span of some 2,000 years. And now in these last days, existing as a nation again. Never happened before with any other country. What a tremendous thing. All this as an indicator. So many old-time Bible scholars said that we're not even near the last day scriptures and scenarios until you see Israel again as a nation. And a lot of other liberal scholars mocked those students and mocked those theologians. But what do we have today but a nation called Israel? And we'll see that this morning. It's important to our study. How do we know that the second coming of Jesus Christ is near? How do we know that the rapture of the church is near? The greatest timepiece that indicated the nearness of God's coming, again, is the nation Israel. Very important. So as we look in our study this morning, we're going to look at three things. Number one, it's found in verse 7, and that is Jesus Christ is coming again, and his coming will be a universal event. Will you write it down, please? Jesus Christ is coming again. It's going to be a universal event. That is, the Bible teaches us that it's a global event, and that I refer to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Very important. The second coming of Christ. Why? The first coming, Jesus Christ came to the nation of Israel. He was, of course, born in Bethlehem. And in his first coming, technically, he presented himself as king on Passion Week, Palm Sunday week, in Jerusalem, in Israel, to the Israeli or to the Jewish state or to the Jewish people. That was his first coming. His second coming is very much like the same in purpose. His second coming is, again, a presentation to the nation Israel, to the Jewish people as the Messiah. In between the first and second coming is a predominant Gentile event. And that is what is called the rapture of the church. And the reason why I bring that up this morning is because we are going to hear scriptures from various, or I should say these two, very important prophetic events. But the first thing we see in by John the Apostle in Revelation 1:7 is that Jesus' coming back to earth is a universal event. How so? Well, number one, jot it down, he's coming in glory, and it's a glory that everybody will see. Everyone. And that's important. It says here, behold, he is coming with clouds. You ought to circle the word clouds, because it has nothing to do with a storm outside or some sort of a meteorological event. It's not some cumulonimbus cloud or some cirrus cloud or some stratus cloud. It has nothing to do with the clouds that you and I are aware of. This is the glory of God. When Jesus Christ comes back, there will be such glory that it will interrupt the world and its affairs in his great and ominous second coming. And we'll see how tremendous that time will be. When John says, behold, he is coming with clouds. The word behold is open your eyes. It is a willful call. It is John saying, listen, you better open your eyes and you better understand. You better take it all in and reckon the fact that Jesus Christ is coming again. Now listen, Jesus Christ, his name is cursed in all the world, isn't it? Jesus Christ is attacked, especially in California. You got so many cults and so many weirdos peddling their religion that eventually, if you listen long enough, it exalts the person. If you take hold of this new cult at your door or this new age thinking, you get to become a god. Everybody gets to become a god but Jesus Christ. Where in the Bible says he is God. The Bible says that he is God come to earth in human flesh. The Bible says that he's going to come back. That he's the only one who died on the cross for our sins. And the world mocks him. The world curses his name. When we think of Jesus, we think of the Jesus of Nazareth, the Jesus walking the shores of Galilee. And that's fine, and that's good, and we can do that. But listen, the Jesus right now is enthroned in heaven. This same Jesus ascended up into heaven and returned back to his Father. And he resides in glory. We have no idea what glory is like. You know that? Well, we won't get it by coming to a church service. We won't get it by really great worship. We won't get it by going to some Hollywood production. We'll never see glory like we are going to see glory when we see the Lord. The glory of God. So fantastic is the glory of God that when Solomon had the temple built, remember, they were ready to dedicate the temple. What happened? They all get ready. It's kind of comical. The priests are all gussied up. You know, they got all their gowns on and they're looking good. And it's time, and they're going to go into the temple, and they can't go in. The glory of the Lord filled the temple in Jerusalem so much that the Lord's glory was radiating outward, and the priests could not go in. It kind of implies that they were trying to get in, and they couldn't go in. God was just there in his glory. We don't often think of Jesus like that. Remember the Mount of Transfiguration. You get a sense of his glory. He went up onto the mountain to pray. Remember that? And he took Peter, James, and John. Peter's on the Mount of Transfiguration, and Jesus is there praying, and the glory, the Bible says, begins to shine around him, and he's completely transformed into a glowing, radiant being standing there in all of his glory. And the Bible says that Moses and Elijah came, and they spoke to Jesus, and Peter, James, and John looked on. Now, you know, James and John at least had enough sense to keep their mouths shut in that moment of glory and grandeur. What's Peter doing? It says, and Peter answered and said, nobody asked Peter a thing. Jesus is not there in glory and saying, Peter, what do you think? What do you think? Huh? Pretty good? Pretty neat? He didn't even ask him. Peter, it says, and Peter answered and said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. I mean, that's something. Lord, show me something. So in all of his grandeur and all of his beauty, Jesus is transformed in his glory. He's coming back in a universal global event. It will, number one, be in a coming glory. Daniel chapter 7, verse 13. Daniel spoke of this thousands of years before even the advent of Jesus Christ. Daniel said, I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven. Jesus Christ. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, verses 29 and 30, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light and the stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Jesus said again in Mark's Gospel 13, then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of power and glory. Jesus said again in Luke 21, verse 27, and then they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power and great glory. And then in 1 Thessalonians 4, 17, Paul the Apostle says, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the clouds, that is the glory of God, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we always be with the Lord. Those are events speaking, Jesus speaking about the second coming, and Paul speaking about the rapture of the church. Listen, wherever Jesus Christ is, there's glory. Be it a hospital bed, be it a deathbed, be it in heaven. Man, I don't know, but when Jesus walked on earth, if you were one of those people near him and you needed a healing, and he came by and he touched you, don't you think, as we see in Scripture, like the man who was lame outside the temple, he couldn't walk, and they said, in the name of Jesus Christ, be made whole. And that man picked up his bed. He was jumping and leaping and praising God, and he went into the temple rejoicing. Isn't that how you think your response would be? Glory! We need to be thinking more about the glory of God. The fact is, Jesus is coming back, and Spielberg and Lucas have done nothing in comparison to what Jesus is going to reveal. The glory of Jesus Christ will be awesome. It says, behold, he is coming with clouds. This is a wonderful thing because scholars argue about what the clouds might be. Yes, they all agree on the glory of God. But we often find in the glory of God, angels stuffed in there, heavenly representatives in that glory. Well, we know that's true concerning the second coming. We're in Revelation chapter 19, verse 11 to 16. We see the glory of God. This is an awesome verse. You can read the chapter later. The church is already in heaven with Christ, fulfilling John 14, chapter 14, verses 1, 2, and 3. The church is already up there. And in the second coming, the church comes out of heaven with Christ in Revelation 19, and it gives us a little bit of insight to the glory of it all. Verse 11, now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. That is, Jesus comes back to put an end to Armageddon and set up his kingdom after the judgment. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written which no man knew except himself. And he was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, now this is kind of cool, the armies in heaven, now, we know later that that's a reference to the church, but let's pretend we don't know right now. The armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Fine linen. Fine linen is specifically reserved, the wording both in the Greek and English, for the bride of Christ, the church. For example, the tribulation saints who give their life for Christ during that tribulation period, and the Old Testament saints, the Bible says, are given white robes. They wear white robes. But the church, which Ephesians tells us, the bride of Christ, which is the church wears fine white linen, a wedding gown. This is quite a chick riding a horse. She's an army wearing a wedding gown. Can you imagine? She's probably got a helmet on with a wedding gown. She's got a hand grenade in one hand, so to speak, and a Bible in the other. This is the armies clothed in fine white linen who followed Jesus on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of the Almighty God, and on his robe and on his thigh is written a name, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. People, that's glorious. That is going to be something. I do not revel in this, and I hope you don't either, but you know people who just say, well, I believe it when I see it, or new Christians drive me crazy, and I'm not going to pay attention to the Bible. There is this thing that we have to fight. You know, if you're here right now, just know this. Your Christian friend who brought you today, he's struggling with something. He's struggling with the same thing I am. It's the temptation where we just turn to you and say, just wait and see. You know, you ever feel like that, or is it just me? Just me? Jesus is coming back. No, he's not. My grandmother told me that, and she died of old age. He's not coming back. He's coming back. And you want to just say, all right, just wait and see. Of course, that's not the Christian thing to do. Christian thing to do is keep loving him, keep praying for him, keep encouraging him to come to Christ. But you know, there's going to come a day, the Bible says, God says, time's up. That's it. It could be with the rapture of the church. Maybe all your Christian friends that are pestering you will be removed in a moment. I hope it's today. I hope you can be at peace today and God take us out of here, you know? Wouldn't that be great? Right in the middle. In fact, look at this. It's still early yet. We could be out of here. In the presence of God to see his glory. He's coming in glory. He's also coming in power. Verse 7 says, every eye will see him. He's coming in power, strength, the mightiness, the miraculous apocalypse, or the unveiling of Jesus Christ to the entire world. It says, every eye will see him. You say, well, Pastor, that's nuts. Because how, if he's going to come, how will every eye see him? I don't know how, but I know this. Every eye will see him. And if you have two eyes, both of them will see him. He's coming back. You say, well, that's physically impossible. I've taken a class in physics, and I know better than that. Well, you know what? If you've taken a class in physics, you ought to know that our God that we worship is the God of physics. He invented physics. It's a law of his, a natural law of his. He's not subject to that law. He can preside over that law, and he does. That's what a miracle is. A miracle is God overruling his own natural laws. And you might say, well, I know physics, and that can't happen. How can every eye in all the world see him? Somehow he's going to have it happen. And by the way, he can do that through a vision. He can do that through some incredible manifestation in the atmosphere right in front of our face if he wants to. He can project a jumbo holytron in front of everybody. But he will be coming back. In fact, if you want to do some more homework, Isaiah chapter 61 out to Isaiah 63 will not only tell you that Jesus Christ is coming back to earth physically in a bodily form, but that every eye will see him, but it even tells you his flight path as he comes into earth. It tells you that he'll be coming from the area of Bozrah to the Mount of Olives. That is, he's going to be coming from the east to the west, and he'll be coming right over Kuwait, right over southern Iraq, right over the northern tip there of Jordan, and he's going to come, and the Bible says he's going to land with his foot on the Mount of Olives, and it's going to split in two. Wow! From the east unto the west, Jesus Christ is coming back. And the Bible says every eye will see him. That's amazing. Jesus says in Matthew 24:30, then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see him coming with the clouds of heaven and power. He's coming with all power, omnipotent power. Every eye will see him. What a tremendous thing. Listen to this. Countdown to the second coming. Jesus says again in Matthew 24, verse 21 to 27, for then there will be great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be. And unless those days be shortened, no flesh will remain upon the earth. But for the elect's sake, that is the nation of Israel, those days will be shortened. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ. Now listen carefully, everyone. If Jesus said in verse 23, if anyone says to you, look, here's the Christ, or there, do not believe him. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the very elect. Behold, I have told you these things beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he is in the desert, don't go out there. Or look, he's in a secret place, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Wow. If you go to New York City, have you been to New York City? If you go to the lower Manhattan, you can take the bridge over to Brooklyn. And just as you get off the bridge, turn right, and you can go, I forget the address, but you can go to the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society. And you might want to write it down. In that building, since the early 1900s, Jesus Christ has been living. Did you know that? Yeah. He returned in the early 1900s, and you and I are living in the millennial reign of Christ right now. How's it feel? You having a good time? The lion's laying down with a lamb, according to the Jehovah Witnesses. Yeah, I submit to you. Go get a lion and go get a lamb. Put them in here. Watch what happens. According to their prophets, the Lord returned in the early 1900s. He's in Brooklyn. Did you know that? Jesus anticipated that. He said, don't believe it. If I'm in a secret place, they tell you that. It's not true. Don't believe it. He says, when I come back, people will know it. It's like the lightning flashing from the east into the west. Man, a couple weeks ago, we were out at the river with our family and some friends from church having a great time. And then we noticed as the big storm clouds were brewing in the midst of the day, it got a little dark, wind started to blow. And we were there and the storm is rolling across the desert and the wind starts to pick up. In fact, a couple houses over, they blew the roof off. We're laying down watching the storm come because the wind was blowing so hard. It was really fantastic, actually. And then the lightning, and you can see the lightning. And then we were counting 1,001, 1,002. You know how you do that? And oh, it's 5 miles away because you hear the rumble and then flash. And then the rumble. It's getting closer, getting closer. The storm came right over us, surrounded us, but all of us wanted to get a greater view of it, so we went out into this open field. And we're standing there, and all of us are together, and now, literally, there's a lightning going on 360 degrees and overhead. It was a massive high-altitude storm. And then, wham! Right instantly, with the boom and the flash, instantly right around us, and we were just blinded for a millisecond of time. It was, and we're like goosebumps, and we're like, oh my gosh, that was awesome. God, you're awesome. And then we started talking. The Bible says that out from the throne issues lightnings and thunders from his throne. And we went, oh. And though the storm was around us, it was majestic. We stayed indoors. We were overwhelmed, and I thought, and I, in fact, I shared it. Can you imagine? This was just a little meteorological storm. Can you imagine standing before the presence of God when he speaks? There's lightnings and thunders that issue forth from his throne. Glory and power surrounds our God. The Bible says that the clouds are his chariots. Don't you love that kind of talk? He holds the wind and the seas in his fists. What an awesome God.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in a message called Jesus Christ is Coming Again. Thanks for joining us today. Jesus Christ is Coming Again is part of Pastor Jack's new series called The Book of Revelation, a series on the final book of the New Testament and the unveiling of future events. The Book of Revelation, as we'll see, occupies a central place in the hearts and minds of every true believer. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Pastor Jack, Christmas, right around the corner, of course, my favorite time of year. We've got such a great listening audience, and I understand you'd like to take a second and greet everybody for Christmas.
Boy, I tell you, on behalf of Lisa and I would love to do that, and that is to extend an honest, heartfelt thank you to all of you and to wish you an amazing Christmas, because this time of the year and the purpose of it is the thing that can set the course and rudder for your life.
Yeah.
Because it's all about Christ. Don't let Christmas get lost in all of the rush and the news. Focus on him.
Yeah.
And it'd be an amazing Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.